Thank Dave and thank National Cotton Council. From September 19th to November 19th, we captured raw weight data on 6,886 round modules in North Delta Gin in Marks, Mississippi. The lightest module weighed 532 pounds, the heaviest weighed 7,261. 97% of those modules weighed between 4,000 and 6,000 pounds. The average median weight of those modules is 5,039 pounds. Now, if you're still awake, you got to be just on the verge of it. I'm boring the stew out of you, aren't I? We've all been to a conference before, and a guy gets up, he's got a lot of great information, he's got a lot of data, but the fact is, data's boring, isn't it, when you get right down to it. Facts and figures are important, but they're only important because they tell a story. Nobody really cares about the facts and figures when you get right down to it. We've all sat through some meetings before. A guy like me gets up and starts rattling stuff off, and in your head you're thinking, my God, man, would you just get to the point? Tell me the story. And so that's what I want to do today is, instead of rattling off a bunch of facts and figures about what we've discovered, I want to try to tell you two stories, hopefully not bore you, and hopefully get out of here before I run out of time. The first story is about some modifications we made this year to one of our flippers, one of our round module flippers. I'm sure most of you have seen them by now. So that we could weigh round modules on the feeder bed right before they're being ginned. Excuse me. And the second one is the story of why you should care, why it should matter to you. 2 years ago, Mr. Grover Lawson at North Delta Gin in Marks, Mississippi called me. And Grover had been using a loader to put round modules on the feeder bed, and he's a pretty sharp guy. And he realized really quickly that it wasn't a safe way to do it. It wasn't practical. It required way too much management. There was too much traffic on the gin yard, and there was way too much opportunity there for contamination. So long story short, we installed a flipper there 2 years ago. And Grover was pretty pleased with it, I think. His Jenner was pretty pleased with it. And so this spring, Grover called me and he said, Bill, I want to use that flipper to weigh these round modules as they're coming in. I didn't really see how we were going to do it. I kind of tried to talk him out of it. Matter of fact, I took him a design for a whole different machine I built to do it with. And he wouldn't even look at it. He said, no, I want to use the flipper. And I said, okay. So we went out to the gin and we looked at the flipper and he told me some of his ideas, and I said, yeah, I see where you're coming from. And so he had the vision and I kind of had some of the wherewithal to design the equipment and build it. And so we did it, and it worked, and it worked famously. And so I just want to just show you a little bit about how we did it. And before you get any fast ideas, now the patent is in process, so just don't even get any fancy ideas. All right, so I want to show you basically how we install a regular flipper, for those of you that don't know. Standard module feeder bed, let's say the module feeder is down here on the left, okay? So what we do with a regular flipper is we just take out the end roller in one section of bed, right before you get to the head. Then we install our flipper bar and the flipper mechanism on each side. We don't change anything about the module feeder at all, nothing. And so when a module comes through, the wrap's cut on either side, which is not depicted in this model here. Then as the module is tilted up, then the labor on each side takes the wrap off, and the flipper goes right back where it came from. Simple, easy, safe. All of you seen it. All right, now, so what we've done is, we took the regular flipper bar off, which is a piece of square tubing, nothing fancy, okay? We've taken one more roller out of the conveyor bed. Then we built two, let me get to where I can hit this mouse here a little bit. Where is it? Can you see that right there? Okay, then we built two structures, and those structures have in them a roller that is the same size as your module feeder rollers are now, but they free roll, and they free roll on a weigh bar. A lot of you are familiar with that on a bean cart or something like that, where you're weighing beans or something like that. So those rollers free float on those weigh bars. So now when the module comes across the flipper, when it gets to a certain point, we raise that up to about 16, 17 degrees. And at that point, it's not raised up far enough that the module rolls off of it, but it is enough that it clears the conveyor bed. We stop right there. We capture a weight. and then we can put the module down, advances a little bit further, and we go ahead and flip it up and unwrap it the way we always have. It is so ridiculously simple. The scale repeats every time. It weighs every time. You know, I tell you what, I'm a little guy. Y'all been hearing from the big guys out here, all right? And I'll probably never be one of them. But I can tell you this, it's scary to build something and design it and put your name on it and install it at a cotton gin for the first time. Because when that joker starts up, if it doesn't run, you're in trouble. Because they're not going to stop for you to come in there and work on it. So, you know, it's terrifying to me every time we try something new. And I guarantee all these guys can tell you it is. But it's always terrifying for me. But this worked. It worked famously, just like the flipper does. So that's kind of the story. I will say this. We were hoping to take those weights and get them into the E-Cotton system. But E-Cotton wasn't prepared to receive that this year. Surely they'll be able to next year. It's just a few numbers we're throwing at them, so it's no big deal. So we should be able to do that for next year. So that's the story of how we did it. Now, the second story I want to talk to you about is what difference does it make to you, whether we did it or not? Why should it even matter to you? Well, the truth is, 20 years ago, it probably wouldn't have mattered to you. I mean, you know, back then, we had different varieties of cotton, but we pretty much all knew per bale of cotton, how much gin trash there was, how much seed there was, and we knew the lint and about what the moats were, and it was kind of average. Everybody was about the same. But unfortunately, it is just not like that anymore. We don't all know the numbers anymore. Times have changed, varieties have changed immensely, and so now it matters. And it matters a lot. We need to be able to tell a better story at the end of the gin season than we're currently able to tell. We need to be able to tell a bigger story at the gin season, at the end of the gin season, rather than, well, we ginned so many bales and we did it in so many days and we got so many tons of seed. I mean, there's way more to this going forward. We ought to be able to tell the true story about what the true turnout is at the gin. That might be a little frightening to some of us, because we may not want to know what our turnout is in some cases, but we ought to. You know, if we're responsible ginners and responsible gin owners, we ought to want to know what our turnout is, so if we need to improve it, we can. The way I've always seen it, as cotton ginners, we got basically three responsibilities. The first one is we need to gin the customer's cotton in a timely fashion. We need to get it done before his cotton degrades. We need to produce the best grades for him we can possible. And the third thing is we need to produce the highest turnout percentage possible we can do for the customer. Now, you know how fast you're ginning. That's not a question. And you know your grades. That's not a question. But unless we are weighing the raw product and we're weighing the seed along with the lint, we do not know what the true turnout percentage is. You need to know the true turnout percentage because you need to know you're doing the best job. But more than that, your customers need to know now and going forward what the true turnout percentage is. A gin has got to have growers, right? If you don't have any cotton, we're screwed, right? We got to have cotton. But for us to have cotton, we got to have growers. And for us to have growers, they got to make a profit. And for us to have them to make a profit, they've got to know the full story of their crop at the end of the season, so they can make decisions moving forward. They need to know the full story about what variety performed here and there on which piece of land and with what different inputs. And if we don't have all the data, all that boring data, then we can't tell the interesting story that we got to be able to tell so people can make good decisions. Raw cotton weight and real-time seed weight are the biggest, most important pieces of information that we're missing right now to tell the whole story for ourselves and our growers at the end of the season. And we're providing a way for you to do that. And if you don't have, if you got a flipper already, we can make modifications to it to do it. If you don't have one, you ought to have one. But if you don't have one, we can do this for you, and you can kill two birds with one stone. You can get the safest, simplest, most effective way to take care of round modules, and you can weigh them at the same time. So, does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, good. Now, I will say this too. Hopefully this year, and at least next year, we'll be probably testing them this year. We'll be building some seed scales that'll hopefully be a little bit simpler than what you're seeing out there on the market now, and hopefully work like a champ too. Now, I want to leave you with this one thing. One of the biggest enemies... Am I out of time?
I'm always talking to you.
All right, shut me off.
I got you.
All right. One of the biggest enemies you got in your relationship with your customers is coffee shop talk. 5 minutes? I'm good. All right. Jim and John are sitting down talking. Coffee shop, beer, whatever they're doing. All right. And Jim says, well, I'm getting well over 4 bales per module at my gin. And John says, man, I ain't giving but about 3 3/4 at my gin. Well, what's the next thing that's going to happen? John's going to be sitting in your office. Where's my cotton? What are you talking about? Well, the other guy's getting X number of bales down the road, and I'm only getting this. What are you going to tell him? Right now, when he walks in your office, what are you going to tell him? You can't tell him anything. If you're not weighing his cotton, and he didn't weigh it. Now, I know that these new pickers are going to be able to do it, but everybody doesn't have one, and you're not necessarily going to get that information there. So, look, we owe it to ourselves and to our customers to collect the data and tell the story. And I'll tell you one more cool thing about weighing modules. Bubba, the Jenner, Bubba Hewlett called me one day. He said, this flipper's not working. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, it won't go up. And we sat there. I said, well, heck, there ain't nothing to it. It's got to go up. So we talked a minute, and both of us kind of at the same time said, that daggum module's wet. And that thing weighed like over 7,000 pounds. It wouldn't even pick it up. So this is another way for you to identify wet cotton, too. So I'm going to leave you with that. Seriously, I'll leave you with that. I want to thank Grover Lawson and Bubba Hewlett. Thank y'all.
His mama took him to a Baptist church, I can already tell. I said, your mama took you to a Baptist church, I can already tell.